Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You can turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, if you haven't got that in your mind yet. We are getting it, and I would like to say you did a wonderful job reading this morning, Colton. Good job. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I wanted to mention to the congregation and give you a week to think about it. This lawn out here needs badly to be taken off. In other words, they're going to get a sod cutter, come in, take the sod all off. They're going to have to regrade some things. Ron's going to be in charge of this. The gardeners are going to do it. And I want you to think about it. It's going to cost $1,800. It needs to be done, but you can make the decision next week, okay? All right. In Ephesians 4, I want you to take this a little slowly this morning. And we're really talking about one faith. But he says, I, that is Paul, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And if you'll notice what he is doing here, he is saying, this is the way that Jesus walked. And you're to walk in the same way. And he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace is something that everybody wants, but nobody can seem to have. And the reason they can't have it is because they have too many desires that go against what the Word of God says. So when we said there is one body, we mean that there is one church. The church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. So when we talk about that, we are talking about this one church, and we're not talking about Port Hueneme, we're talking about every Christian that has obeyed the gospel in the entire world. And even members of the church are some of those that have passed away. They are still members of that one church. And he says, there's one Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, that gives life, gives direction. And just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ. One faith, that's our subject. One baptism, and that's our subject next week. And one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So as you think about these passages, I want you to think to this morning about this one faith. So I'm going to start out this way. When we talk about one faith, we're talking about one source that we get all of our material with. It's talked about in Jude 3. That tells us that we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that one faith, all the members believe in that one faith that was delivered to the saints. It means that we are striving for this goal. One faith is absolute trust in the Lord. Now, when I say absolute trust, there's very few people that have absolute trust in the Lord. But there's our goal. Our goal is absolute faith in the Lord. Do you remember the one thing that Jesus rebuked his disciples for more than any other thing is their lack of faith? When the storms of life come, we're scared to death, because we do not have the proper faith in Christ. When somebody dies, we don't have the proper faith in Christ. So faith is something that you start out with, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, certainly. We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, certainly. But one of the things, we are to grow in the faith. And if we are to grow in the faith, it means that we're going to get more and more each day that we spend with Jesus. And the second thing is, one faith is absolute trust in the gospel. And when I say in the gospel, I'm talking about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ and us sharing in that. And all of the things that was taught by the apostles coming via through Jesus, or Jesus speaking and coming through the apostles. So the gospel of Christ is that which we find in the New Testament, that we are to fully believe that with all of our heart. And if you will notice, we all believe that with all of our heart until we are tested. And in that testing, many times we fail. When you fail, pick yourself up, go back and start the faith again, recognizing that the gospel of Christ is true. You just think about it, how in the world can we possibly be resurrected from the dead? The Bible says believe it and trust it. And one faith is believing in an absolute truth. Everybody has their own truth today. There is one truth, and it's an absolute truth. I'm not started preaching yet. I'm just giving you some things before we start. I want you to recognize that when we say that there's one truth, we are talking about reality. That if I were to say one thing about Christianity, as I asked the other night, what is a Christian? And people say, well, it's a relationship with the Lord. It's changed me and my life and so on. And all that's true. But really, we are a living demonstration of what reality is. That's what Christianity is. It's a demonstration of reality, of what it's like to have the kingdom of God ruling in your hearts. That is Christ ruling in your heart. And we are there and demonstrate to people what it's like to have the kingdom of heaven be here upon earth. That's what we do. And one faith can be seen by our actions. In other words, you can see somebody's faith. Doesn't James say something like, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So that's the introduction. Paul normally uses the term faith in the sense of active belief. Turn over to 1:15, Ephesians 1:15. And there we find, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. We notice something as we look at that, and that is that you hear about somebody's faith. I hope that people are telling other people about the faith in Port Hueneme. The people there really have faith. And he says, I want you to know of your love for all the saints. You know, that love is a funny word. It's a word, I love mashed potatoes, I love green beans, I love this and I love that. But I want you to notice something. Love means that I want the very best for you. I want you at the top of your game. Whatever you are capable of, I want you to accomplish. I want you to get there because I love you. Love doesn't mean that I'm all fluttery and as was said, Twitter-pated. You remember Twitter-pated? That was in a Walt Disney movie. It means that I do want the very best and I'm willing to sacrifice myself for you. Look at 2 in verse 8. In verse 8 there, he is talking, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Many people misunderstand that passage. What is the gift of God is the grace of God. The grace of God has been given to us. So he's using that to in the sense of active belief. You have an active belief, and I'm telling you about that. Then if you move over to chapter 3 in verse 12, he says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." So what's he saying there? He's saying you have an active belief. It is working. It is working over and over that you have faith in him. And then down in verse 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love." So what's he saying? There is a faith that he is saying that I want you to recognize, that it is a belief that you have that you are actively engaged in. You are actually engaged in this every day of your life. But here he is using it in a different sense. And I want you to get this. He's using it as a set of convictions that are commonly confessed among Christians. This is something that is common to all. Paul uses this term this way later in the chapter to refer to belief and content. In Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 13, he says, "Till we all," first he gives that there are certain gifts, miraculous gifts that are given. And he says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ," that's verse 12, "till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God." The knowledge of the Son of God is what's going to give us our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ. What he is saying is this is what we are unified in. We are unified because we believe in that one, Jesus Christ, and that we are there without wavering. We believe that everything that we are going to do is going to be centered around Jesus Christ. He is pointing out that all of the gifts that were given, and if you talk about even the gifts that are given to us naturally today by God, it is for the building up of the body of Christ, or it is for building you up in the faith, that your faith is going to grow because of what we are going to do. Your faith is going to grow because we have this feeding each other with it. If we're feeding each other with faith, we are growing in faith. Why does the church come together? It comes together to edify one another. And for me to build you up and you to build me up, and that's what the church is doing in a local congregation. There's 3 or 4 things that the church does. So this is not an unusual term for Paul. In the earliest letter, he spoke of the ministry of proclaiming the faith. Now, proclaiming the faith means that we are preaching the faith. Turn over to Galatians 1 and verse 23. In Galatians 1:23, if I get back there, okay. That's why I put it up on the board usually, but that's not working, so we're going to have to go back to turning pages, and I'm slow. But in Galatians 1:23, he says, "But they were hearing only," this is talking about Paul, and you remember he had persecuted the Christians terribly. "He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once destroyed." What is the faith? Well, it's the gospel of Christ. That faith is what he was preaching. You can imagine what it's like for this fellow over here that he hates Christianity. He thinks that they're doing all wrong. And then he is converted, and now he is preaching what he was having people killed for. So Paul is saying, I want you to recognize that what I once was doing wrong, now I am doing right and I am preaching this. Now let me ask you something. Is this what we ought to be preaching? Should we be preaching the gospel of Christ? And over we have to ask, what is the gospel of Christ? And the gospel of Christ starts, if you'll remember, in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, wherein you received and which you stand and by which you also are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you. For I delivered to you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and the third day he was raised according to the Scriptures, and then he gives a list of people that saw him after he arose. In Romans 6, do you remember, he says, not only do we believe that about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but we actually become a part of that. We take all the benefits from what happened there, and we are crucified with Christ. And then in Romans, the first chapter, and verse 5, and people always ask, well, this faith, why is it so important? So in Romans 1 and verse 5, he tells us why. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. What does that mean, obedience to the faith? Well, it means that they are preaching something that people are supposed to have a response to, as he did in Acts, the second chapter. They preached Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. And he pointed out, you murdered that Christ. You murdered him. And they said, what shall we do? And then he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So what's he saying there? He's saying, number one, and many people, and I'm going to just go off for a minute, many people believe that you receive the Holy Spirit person in you. I believe that what he is saying there is you're going to receive the promise that was given long ago, and that is the blessings of Abraham. You're going to receive salvation. The Holy Spirit is going to bring that to you. He is going to bring you that wonderful gift of salvation, that everybody can be saved, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, and therefore all nations are being blessed through the promise to Abraham. Then, in chapter 10 and verse 8 of Romans, Romans 10, we see over and over this pattern that he is doing. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, you will be saved. Now that belief is that we are going to believe exactly what God has said. Now, how do you get belief? I think Jordan said it well when he's preached. You get faith by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what did we hear? We heard about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. What was our response? Our response was, we're going to obey whatever he tells us to do. Now, people say, when you believe, that you don't have to do anything else. Well, you do. I miss my PowerPoint. I miss it. I like that thing. How do you preach without it? John does a good job. I'm sure Tim does a good job. I need PowerPoint because I got my scripture right there. Anyway, over in Galatians 3 and verse 23. Galatians 3, 23. Don't you love the Bible? He says there, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. The Old Testament, they believed that there was something coming that was going to save them. They didn't know just how God was going to do it, but they were even saved because of the promises of God. And finally, the faith came, that which we are to center in upon, and that is Jesus Christ. The things that God said, the things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus is doing, we are to focus in upon those things, and our mind goes to the heavenly things, and that is where Christ is. And he is sitting at the right hand of God, and if we do it properly, we will be sitting with him in our mind. We are sitting with Christ, and what are we doing? We are reigning. Now, it doesn't look much like we're reigning, but we are. We are reigning with Christ as he is over everything. And he also tells us in his letters in Colossians 1, 23, and that's one of the things Steve, you're going to be coming. Where is Steve? Huh? He left? Oh, well, anyway, I have a class with him on Tuesday night. He said he would be there. Colossians 1:23. Turn over there. He said, and I'm going to start in verse 21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. What's he saying here? He's saying, I want you to stay in the gospel of Christ. Let that be the center. It's very easy for me to get up here and tell you what to do and what not to do. If we are centered in the gospel of Christ, now listen to this statement. If you are centered in the gospel of Christ, you can figure out what to do and not to do. People say, is it all right to gamble? Is it all right to go to R-rated movies? Don't ask the preacher. Ask God. Ask through the Word of God. See, I see things different than some people do, but I'm weird. But I try to get it from the Word of God. That's what we're trying to get at, that you center everything around Christ, why you do or you don't do what you're going to do. And he is saying you're only going to do that If you continue in the faith, grounded. What does that mean, grounded? It means that you're standing firm. You know what you believe and why you believe it. And not moved away from the hope. You cannot separate hope and faith. Faith always will have hope. Did you know that? Faith always will have hope. If I have faith, what are we hoping for? Can anybody tell me? I'll just open it up. Can anybody tell me what we're hoping for? Redemption of our body. But more than that. More than that. We're going to be in a situation of a new heaven and new earth, and righteousness is going to be all around us. Everything that is done is going to be righteous. You can leave your doors open at night if you have a house. I don't even know that we'll even need a house, but you can leave the doors open. If you had a car, you could leave the car open. You don't have to worry about anything. You're going to a place that God says in this new heaven and new earth, righteousness is going to dwell. Wouldn't you love that, to know that whenever you loan somebody money and so on, you're going to get paid? Wouldn't you like to where you could trust everybody? Wouldn't you like it where everybody lived in such a way that it was glorious all around us? Well, anyway. His usage becomes more frequent all the way through. And he also speaks about a deposit which is to be guarded. We referenced that when we first started out in Jude 3, that he wrote to give them something that they were entrusted with. He said that, very simply, that you have been entrusted to keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That means that God puts confidence in you. He puts confidence that you're going to keep the faith. Keep the gospel. You're going to present that to the world. How do we present it to the world? Well, I want you to think about something. When Jesus was here, did you notice that everybody that came to him to be healed, he healed them? Did you ever notice that? And he is saying, you are going to a place where there won't be any healing. You're going to be well. There's not going to be blindness. There's not going to be deafness. There's not going to be any of that. You're going to be well. We say, well, what kind of a body? Well, I'll tell you, it's a good body. It's a good body. I can't tell you what kind you're going to have, but you're going to have a good one. You know, we sometimes say, well, flesh can't get there. You ever notice that? People say flesh can't get there. Job in the Old Testament says that I'm going to see him in my flesh. What does that mean? I think it means he's going to see him in his flesh. Do you remember when Jesus arose? He arose and he was immortal. And they said they thought they saw a spirit. And he said, a spirit doesn't have flesh as you see me have. Was he changed? Yes. What's it going to be like? What we don't know is what it means to be glorified. And he was glorified. Okay, enough of that. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and verse 20, and this is so important because we are losing it today. 1 Timothy 6, and look down at verse 20. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. When you guard that, you are listening to what people are saying. And you are contrasting what they are saying if it's contrary to the Word of God. How do I do that? Well, I know the Word of God well enough that I can say what you are saying is not true, or you're perverting it, or you are misusing it. Now, everybody that teaches something wrong, just because I teach something wrong doesn't make me a false teacher. False teacher, something's wrong with his character each time. But I want us to see over and over that he's given us something, and he says, guard it with your life. Guard it in such a way that you're going to stop all this foolish babbling. Do you know church splits? What causes them? Babblings. They're fighting about nothing. We don't fight about doctrine usually. We can fight about a lot of things. Politics? That's an interesting subject. How many of you are Democrats? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. What we are looking at is we are here for a spiritual feast. And God has given us something that we can eat of and partake of, and that is the Word of God. And we ought to present that in such a way as when people see us, they see us doing the same thing that Jesus did. We're trying to heal people. You follow that? We are trying to heal people. We're getting them to the place that they can be healed completely, but at least here we are trying to help them even physically. That's what Jesus did. Does he want us doing that? And the answer is yes. Does he want us helping the poor? No. We get into how long should somebody's beard be? And it should be shorter than Tim's. We come into so much silliness. So he says, I want you to protect that. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he does the same thing. 2 Timothy, what? 1:12-14. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Now, I'll read the rest in a minute. But I want you to notice something. There are people all over the country, in the church, that can't get over what they've done in the past. And they keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up, and they say, God, forgive me for this, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And we're pleading with God. He forgave you a long time ago. Get over it. You can't do anything about it. He's done something that I can't do. I can't forgive myself, but he has. And I can live with that. So he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was commanded to you, keep up the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Keep by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. All right. So we are to protect this. Paul's statement implies that there are more elements in this common faith than what he has enumerated in this context. These seven statements here say nothing about Jesus' death on the cross. But I say that we have to have agreement upon these things that we read in Ephesians 4 before we can have fellowship. And certainly we are to agree upon the sharing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So this whole thing is telling us that in Christianity, God has given us something that is called faith. It is expressed in something that is written down. And everything that we do, we're to do according to the authority of Christ. When you look at the Bible, what is the message? Do you pick it up? And this is the one thing that Jordan and I talked about. When you look at this and you read this, live this. And when I say that, I'm saying that in the stories that we read, let us be there and let us imagine ourselves being there and get ourselves to where we are telling the story to where it is real and not just a bunch of words. Too many of us read and we think, boy, we have done something instead of us studying really what it's saying. Can you see Paul as he is pleading with Timothy? Keep the word. Keep the word. Keep the sound doctrine. Keep it, keep it, keep it. Can you really see that? Can you see that Paul might be talking to you? Find out who he's talking to. He's talking to Timothy. But is there an application for me? That's what he's asking. I want you to notice something. Our whole gospel is centered around a person, not a book. The book only reveals that person. And the things that we do that are right, wrong, and so on is response to us believing in Jesus Christ. And if we believe in Jesus Christ, our response will be right. Let's focus upon Him and learn to think like Him. And if you learn to think like Him, then He has your heart. And that's what He's after through it all. I'll try to get my thing fixed this week because I need it. Paige, you said you don't need it, but I do. She doesn't think sometimes I need her, but I wouldn't make it a day. I wouldn't make it a day without her. And Tim, we're praying for you and your going through this ordeal. And we're hoping that you get your wife back. But do you love each other? Do you really love each other? Even one? That's a question. How many of you are going to heaven? You're not going if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. You cannot go to the Father without going through Jesus. So you know you're to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Those are easy things to say. They're very difficult things to really accomplish because it takes your whole heart. It takes your whole heart. Have you given it to the Lord? Give it today. Won't you come?